Hello, this is Jill Pasternak. Welcome to Crossover, the program that explores the universal language, music. Just heard the finale, the presto, from Beethoven's String Quartet in E minor, Opus 59, Number 2, better known as the Razumovsky, performed by our guest today, the Quartetto di Cremona. Happily, we have the opportunity today to revisit a favorite group of musicians with the release of their second volume of Beethoven's String Quartets, which define his late period. The Quartetto di Cremona hits a home run once again. I'm speaking today with Simone Grimaglia, who is violist with the Quartetto di Cremona, who have just released a marvelous album. And I welcome you here to Crossover, Simone.
Thank you very much.
The album is actually Beethoven Complete String Quartets. And this is this particular one is the second volume. And on this album,
yes,
you play the Razumovsky, the E minor, and
yeah,
also the E flat major. I have to tell you, I was just blown away by your performance of the Razumovsky. It was so exciting. Very, very, very exciting. Tell us a little bit about why you chose the Beethoven as a subject for your album.
First of all, thank you so much. I mean, I'm very happy you really liked so much our recordings. And for us, this recording, I mean, to record the All String Quartet by Beethoven is a very important step, because in Italy, just the Quartetto Italiano, more than 30 years ago, recorded the old Beethoven String Quartets. And then we had like a long period without any other Italian string quartets doing that. And so it's why we really feel a lot of responsibilities on that. And we decided to record them because we were asked 3 years ago from the Società del Quartetto in Milano to perform the All Beethoven Cycle. Then we thought, as we have to study all of them, why not record them? And we also thought it could be a great opportunity for us to grow technically and artistically, as you know, Beethoven is probably the best and the must for a string quartet.
Now, how many are there actually in all of the Beethoven quartets?
Yeah, there are 17 string quartets. And I think we are going to release seven volumes.
Seven volumes? Oh my goodness. So that's a life's work, isn't it? You don't have to worry about what to do. But this album has that E minor, which is just, I tell you, I was so taken with your passion when you played this quartet. It was beautiful. Very, very beautiful.
Thank you very much.
Do you have, I don't want to say, do you have any favorites, but is this one of them, I would ask you?
Yes, it is one of our, I mean, yes, it's true, it's difficult to say which can be our favorite string quartet, but I must say that there are some of them that we really feel very close to us. And the Opus 59, all, I must say, we really like and we really love to play. The 59 number 2 is wonderful, it's great. There is the slow movement is something that is absolutely unique. And it was quite, let's easy in a way for us to enter in the spirit of this string quartet, or at least to find a musical message to communicate, because probably we love this tonality, we love E minor, and we love the way the quartet is written. Another string quartet that is not in this volume, but for example that we really love, is 132. It's really, we love to play this quartet.
Well, now, have you kind of brought back the whole idea of an Italian quartet? I mean, you said that for a long time there were no Italian string quartets that seemed to come forward, you know, and make a name for themselves, because I think that you do have, to some degree, a limited audience when you're talking about string playing and ensemble playing. You know, it's not like doing an orchestral album, and I would imagine that you are appealing to a different public when you do release these. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. It's true. And I must say that, for example, the reason why in Italy it was at least difficult to find string quartets, it's because we are used to the opera. Verdi also, Verdi was written that Italian musicians shouldn't play string quartet, they should sing or conduct or play in the orchestras that will be conducted by an Italian conductor. I mean, and yeah, and in a way it was terrible, because Verdi, by the way, Verdi wrote a wonderful string quartet, but it was written to show that also Italian composers were able to write music with contrapunto, like the Germans, but not because there was a real love for chamber music. Something changed probably in the last 20 years. Now in Italy there are much more string quartets, and also composers started to write and to focus on string quartet much more than in the past.
That's a very, very interesting thing that happened, because I don't think people are aware of that. You know, you become acquainted with artists, and they do, you know, recordings, and they do solo recordings, or they'll do ensemble recordings and so on and so forth. But I did read about the fact that there seemed to be, it was a long time that no Italian string quartets came forward to appeal to the general public all over the world. And so I guess it was a little bit heroic of you as a string quartet to say, we're going to do this and we're going to make an album.
Thank you very much. It's true. I mean, I must say that when I decided to play string quartet, I was much younger than now, and probably at that moment I didn't think too much to the risks that I took.
Yeah,
to the repertoire and to the risks, because to choose 15 years ago in a country like Italy to do and to devote just to the string quartet was probably very, very risky. But I must say that 15 years after me, and I can tell also for my colleagues, we are very, very, very happy of this choice. And also because we have the luck to play some of the most beautiful repertoire ever written from the best composers.
We listen now to the entire Razumovsky Quartet, number 2, opus 59, performed by the Quartetto di Cremona, personnel Cristiano Gualco violin, Paolo Andreoli violin, Simone Gramaglia viola, and Giovanni Scaglione cello.
Thank you.
We just heard the Razumovsky Quartet, the string quartet in E minor, Opus 59, number 2 by Beethoven, performed by our guest today, the Quartetto di Cremona, Cristiano Gualco violin, Paolo Andreoli violin, Simone Grimaglia viola, and Giovanni Scaglione cello. Now, you're in the town of Cremona, which is known for its violin making, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And I must say that we were quite lucky when we decided to give the name of Cremona to our ensemble. At the beginning, we didn't think about the volume making side. It was just to find a common place, because when the quartet started, we not all the people were from Cremona, and we were there also to study in this famous academy, music academy led by Salvatore Accardo, the violinist, and yes. So we decided that because we were there, because we were in Cremona and we were studying there, the Cremona could be a right name. Then we noticed, and it was a luck, that effectively, Cremona is very famous in the world for Stradivari and all the great traditional violin making. So it was something that combined very well with the name. Yeah.
Well, I have to say that because, again, as just someone just looking at albums, the name Cremona got to me as well, because right away I thought of violins and string playing. And you're absolutely right that that's what you associated with. So now, is this your first album of anything, or is this a follow-up album to something else that you've done?
We already recorded other CDs. The first we did, let's say, with a real label was from a German label, and it was two Haydn string quartets and a Bartok IV string quartet.
How did that do? Was it popular?
Quite popular. Yeah, because we quite popular. It went very well, and we were quite happy about the result of that. And then we decided to record Italian music, by the way, an album called that. We gave a name to the album. It was Italian Journey. We thought to a journey into Italy through his composers, some of his composers, and it was Verdi, of course, Boccherini, and Puccini.
Well, you didn't have a problem choosing, certainly, when you're talking about Italian composers, right? But
yeah,
Puccini,
exactly.
That's very interesting. Puccini wrote a string quartet?
Yeah, it's very interesting. Puccini wrote a very, very short string quartet and called Chrysanthemi. It's just a very short piece.
That's the Chrysanthemums,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
ah,
exactly,
yes.
exactly. Yeah, no, I mean, he didn't write other string quartet. I think he wrote some little fugues and little scherzos, but they are more exercises. Very nice, but not very string quartets. There is Donizetti, who wrote 17 or 18 string quartets, but we prefer not to play all of them. We prefer Beethoven, I must say.
Well, of course, this is a spectacular album. It really is. The work is spectacular, and I was very fascinated. I've heard about the Razumovsky through the years, but I didn't know why it was called that. And of course, he dedicated it, didn't he, to the... He was a count, wasn't he, Razumovsky, a real supporter of music?
He was a Russian ambassador, and commissioned the quartets to Beethoven. And he was also very important because he was paying the let's say, the first professional string quartet of that time, called the Schuppanzig string quartet, from the surname of the first violin. And it was important also because it gave Beethoven the opportunity to think to the music not just as an entertainment thing, but as something that could then played professionally. And probably this is one of the reasons why Beethoven started also to change
his style,
his ideas. Yeah, his style,
yes,
exactly.
Yes, yes.
Exactly.
Now, there is a one of the movements says Russian theme, Temurus. What is that? What theme is that? Or is that an original theme that Beethoven wrote?
Yeah, I think it's in the third movement, and it's just a popular theme that he took from something, and it was an homage to the ambassador
to Razumovsky. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, we can find a Russian theme in the Opus 59, number 1, in the last movement, this one in the Opus 59, number 2. There is not a Russian theme in the Opus 59, number 3.
Okay, so this is really, an amazing album, and I congratulate you on this wonderful accomplishment, and it also shows your abilities, your technical abilities, and tremendous passion. That's what I felt in the E minor, the Opus 59, tremendous passion in there. I thought that was really great. Loved it.
Thank you very much.
So, thank you. So, is this going to be the beginning of a series of string quartets?
This is the second one, and I think that we will have 7 volumes, and then we will probably start to record all Mozart string quartets, but. We'll have one day off from recordings in 2017 because the Beethoven is going to finish in 2016 to be recorded.
And now his style, I did read that he was beginning to be more modern in his style of writing. He was really kind of adventurous at this point, changing
absolutely.
His style.
Absolutely. Yeah. He was great, and he was able to... I think that if we think, for example, to the Great Fugue, is a masterpiece, and till today, it's something that is absolutely very contemporary, more contemporary than other contemporary music. It's like a mystery. I think that Beethoven was probably no one was and will be able to change the string quartet conception like Beethoven did.
Well, this is very, very exciting. And I think we have an obbligato going on with a dog over there. Is that right? Somebody
yeah,
is barking?
Exactly. There is
yes.
Unfortunately, there is a dog very close to on the other door. And so it's I don't know why he started to. But it's
well,
a very nice
probably,
one. It's very smart.
He probably agrees with you about Beethoven. So he wanted to let us know.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it's been wonderful speaking with you, Paolo. I hope that we'll get more of your albums. This, once again, is a marvelous debut album for us here at the station. And I look forward to more releases from the Quartetto di Cremona. And thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Thank you very, very much.
Terrific. Bye-bye.
Bye.
For a second listen to selected crossover interviews, visit WRTI.org. Crossover was produced by Jill Pasternak in the studios of WRTI Philadelphia for the WRTI Radio Network. This is Joe Hattie, Crossover's technical producer. Crossover is syndicated nationally by Global Media Group Incorporated. Thanks for listening.